Glad that you're here this morning to join us for our series in Roots and Wings. I started coming to the Church of the Resurrection a little over maybe 2.5 years ago. A bunch of my friends were attending the church. They invited me to lots of events, and I haven't left since. So I enjoy being here, and I hope that you guys will enjoy what I have to say this morning. So I just wanted to kind of let you know where I'm going with this. I'll give you a brief explanation. Here at the church, we have been doing a series on Roots and Wings. It's a series that a bunch of our members at our church have been sharing with us what it means to be rooted in Christ and how to live out the life he has planned for us. With that, I hope throughout this time that I can share with you how I am rooted in Christ and what I think that means to me, and hopefully it will inspire you to question being rooted again in Christ. So let me just begin with a reading of the scripture again. I want to reread that scripture and of Lamentations 1:6, and I want to also read an excerpt from Dr. Seuss's book, Oh, the Places You Will Go. And as I read, I want you to think about a few things. How do we stay rooted in Christ when there is so much devastation or brokenness in this world? How do we have a courage to reach out to keep being or moving towards being the people God wants us to be? Do we have to go through difficult things? Should there be trials to be rooted in God? And can we be rooted even when it's hard? So, Lamentations 1:1-6, the deserted city. How lonely sits the city that once was full of people. How like a widow she has become. She that was great among the nations, she that was a princess among the provinces, has become a vessel. She weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has no one to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile with suffering and hard servitude. She lives now among the nations and finds no resting place. Her pursuers have all overtaken her. In the midst of her distress, the roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to the festivals. All her gates are desolate. Her priests groan. Her young girls grieve, and her lot is bitter. Her foes have become the masters, her enemies prosper, because the Lord has made her suffer for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone away captive before the foe. From daughter Zion has departed all her majesty. Her princes have become like stags. They find no pasture. They fled without strength before the pursuer. Oh, the places you will go. Oh, the places you will go, you'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers. You'll soar to high heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You can get all hung up in a prickly perch and your gang will fly on. You'll be left in a lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then that you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. In today's reading in Lamentations, you see a nation devastated once, which was thriving. It's now broken and lost. In Dr. Seuss's book, you grasp the reality that in our life we have good times, we can fly high, but then bad things happen. You can't pick up a newspaper, watch the TV, or observe the world around you without feeling a sense of distress. Or when things hit home, you can't seem to find a way out. The question arises, how do we stay rooted in Christ in order to live the lives he has planned for us? Well, at the beginning of this series, Julie talked about being with plants when they thrive and they are green and luscious, they have to have a deep watering, and it needs to be consistent to take root. And so I got to thinking, this must suggest that we submerge ourselves in more prayer and community and reading God's word. And then when Kim spoke, she talked about the monarch butterfly. We realized that in its life cycle, there is a period of darkness and gooiness that it must go through to emerge a beautiful creation. So I thought maybe struggles and difficulties are what keeps me grounded and rooted. But actually, I would like to suggest that it's not just those things. I think it's a combination of those things. But for me in my life, it was my relationship with God that kept me grounded. So a life in three parts. Let me show the first slides. So I grew up in a Christian home. And what that meant for me and for my family was that my parents wanted us to go to church, and they took us to church, and they taught us how to read the Bible, and we learned how to pray. We were exposed to lots of different ways of practicing our faith, and that was great. And they also, you know, wanted us to be good Christians. And what does that look like? And so we developed a way of being a good Christian, or I thought would be a good Christian. So I show these paintings because also in that household, my parents gave us lots of art and lots of different ways of expressing ourselves. And one of those ways is I paint. And I think that was one way that God introduced himself to me and one way that my relationship with God started. And so that's my journey with him. I can't tell you how I knew, but as a child, I knew God was around me and I always made space for him. And it was something that I can't describe, but I think that's what he created for me in making me a creative person and in showing himself to me that way. My mom's family was predominantly Christian, and so we were exposed to that side of the family. And one scripture my grandfather gave me was Psalm 91. And it says, "Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, he is my God, in him will I trust." And that will serve a purpose in my life later on, but I say that now because that is what kept me in my life, in my early life. So in that household, I was a Christian. I wanted to be good. I wanted to follow all of the markers, check all the boxes. At age 12, I made my profession of faith, and then my life began. I developed more into people-pleasing and being a perfectionist because I thought that that was my relationship with God. That's what I needed to do to be rooted in Christ. So life happened, things happened, and I lasted for that long, about 20 years. Part two. It was late 2010, early 2011. I was in my second career as a teacher, and I loved my job. And for all intents and purposes, if you looked at me, you wouldn't know that there was something going on. But there was lots going on. I think that I thought that if I kept going, it would get better. In my personal life, things that were great, relationships that were great, were now depleted and devastated. I was the sickest I could have been at that point, and I didn't know it. I had a goiter the size of my throat, like a golf ball, that was possibly cancerous. My anxiety that was pre-diagnosed and depression was at its all-time high. And I did what I always did in those situations. When that part of my life and when God wasn't answering me, I threw more of myself into my work. And that's how I was going to survive. Can you show the pictures now? So that's when everything happened. I walked away from what I thought I knew was to be true. But let me describe to you, and let me fix that in a sense and say that I didn't walk away from God. I just left what I thought was God or what I thought to be true, and I started to take away all of that stuff of people pleasing and being a perfectionist. So I left it. Psalm 139 says this: Even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that well, full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place and when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days that you had ordained for me were written in your book. So at that point in time, God started to bring me back to that place of being creative. And if I saw that and I knew that, I felt God again, like I was when I was a child. And if he says of me that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made and I am here for a reason and a purpose, then that means I am rooted in him and I can keep going. Part three. It's present day and I am nowhere that I thought I would be. I didn't think I'd be at this point, but God has walked with me in that. I still want to be in a certain place. I still want to run the race, as you say. But God has changed a lot of things in me, and he has rooted me through bringing me back to Scripture, through community, and through being creative, and through nature. And so what I want to suggest now is that I don't know what is to come. I don't know what God has to plan for me, but I know it's good. And I know that he walks with me. And I know that our relationship together will keep me rooted and keep me steadfast with him. So what I would like to leave you with is this. I want you to think about in the weeks to come and the days to come, how does God keep you rooted? How does he keep you in that place, even when things don't seem quite right or when things are uncertain? Isaiah 55 says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, but eat, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread or your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and I will delight you in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant." Now, being rooted in God needs, you need to have community, you need prayer, you need to be in God's word. But I also suggest that we need to check our relationship with Christ. How does that look? What does that mean? Because that is what keeps us grounded in our faith. Or that's what keeps me grounded in my faith and keeps me going to be the person that he wants me to be. Amen.